This is much higher than I deserve to be. But I greet you with God's grace and remind you of the power of God's peace. It is a joy for me to be with you because I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in the Northwest Washington Synod. We number some 10,000 and almost 120 some congregations. You are not alone. It's also a real privilege to bring you greetings from your presiding bishop, Elizabeth Eaton. If Bishop Eaton were here, she would remind us in the most delightful way, we are church. We are Lutheran. We are church at its best when we are church together. When we are church together for the sake of the world. I want to share with you a story this morning. It's a very powerful story. It goes back to when Hitler's forces had occupied Denmark, and an order came that all the Jews in Denmark were to identify themselves by wearing armbands with yellow stars of David. The Danes had already witnessed the extermination of Jews in other countries, and they pretty well figured it out. It was now going to happen in Denmark. The king did not defy the orders. He had every Jew wear the star, and he himself wore the Star of David. He told the people that he expected every loyal Dane to do the same. The king said, "We are all Danes. One Danish person is the same as the next." And so he wore his yellow star when going to Copenhagen every day in order to encourage the people to do the same. The king of Denmark identified with his people, even to the point of putting his own life on the line. Powerful story, isn't it? The only problem, it's not true. Yeah, it's an urban legend that has been around for a long time, and it's been told in children's books, and it's been told over and over and over again. I hope it's not too good to be true, though. You see, such a king, such a kingdom, likely is not from this world. And so in our Bible story today, we see the powers, two very different powers, standing face to face. We see Pilate, a person of great power and influence in the Roman world. And we see Jesus. And Pilate is working overtime to try to get Jesus to admit that he's king of the Jews. Because if he could admit it, Pilate would have the grounds to crucify him for sedition. He says, are you the king of the Jews? And at no time does Jesus give Pilate the pleasure of saying, yeah, I am. Instead, he makes it perfectly clear. My kingdom is not from this world. Two different forms of power, face to face. The power of Pilate's world is the kingdoms of this world. They're based on power and influence. They're based on fear and terror. They're based on lording it over the people. They're based on conquering territory, subduing people. It's about gaining a kingdom and having the power to rule it. Jesus' kingdom, very different kind of power. A power that's anchored in relationship. I don't know if you've ever put this together again, how relational Jesus is. Where did he come from? He came from God. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You see, this is why his kingdom, his way of rule, it's not from this world. The kingdom of God takes place every time our lives align with the relational way in which Jesus and God have done life together. You've ever noticed how powerful it is when there's enmity between peoples and you're able to re-enter into relationship with one another? All the more powerful when it's somebody that has despised you or you have despised them. All the more powerful when it's somebody that has rejected you or you have rejected them. And the ways of the world is to give up on it. The ways of the world is to seek revenge or do the other in. But the way of Jesus is to enter into relationship with. You see, that's why if the story of the Danish king were true, then we could say, see, there is a living example of what the kingdom of God is like. But it's not a true story. And sad to say, we seldom see this profound sense of what it means to insist upon relationship. We seldom see it in this world. And that's why every week you faithfully come to a place like this, as do millions around the world. And what do we pray? We pray, God, your kingdom, your kind of power, come. Your will be done. Let it happen here. Denmark, Queen Anne. Let it happen here as it does in heaven. Every time relationship overcoming enmity, every time it trumps status and privilege and politics and economics and power, we get a taste of what the kingdom of God is about. But we also must be aware of it as individuals. You all have power. The question is, how do you use it? Do you lord it over people? Or is your power directly related to the relationships that you have been blessed with? You might be surprised. Some of you might even be shocked if you were to visit my office, because I have symbols of power there. When you walk in the door and you look immediately to the left, you'll see an Orthodox processional cross. Very ornate. In the corner opposite of it, still to my left, you would see a crozier. That's the staff of the bishop's office. And rumor has it that our pastor should never wear a cross that's bigger than the bishop's. It's an office of power and influence, which is precisely why, and this you may find shocking, if you look straight ahead in my office, on my filing cabinet, you'll see a green toilet plunger and a green pair of rubber gloves. These are also symbols of power. They were given to me by my staff when I left the congregation that I had served for 33 years. And when they were given to me, they said, "We don't want you to forget where you came from. We want you to remember what you taught us, that the only power we have comes in service. Service to one another." And it was you who taught us, Kirby, that it better not be beneath us if we were going to serve on this staff. It better not be beneath us that if the toilet becomes plugged, we would be willing to unplug it. How do we use our power, brothers and sisters? Do we use it to encourage, to invite, to overcome, to ensure, to insist that we be in relationship with one another? Or do we lord it over one another? You know, I loved Jesus as a little boy, and I was so wowed by the fact that he was God, and yet he was willing to be a human being, that he is so humble, a slave. You see, you cannot be in relationship with anybody if you think you are better than they are. I sometimes discover this in premarriage counseling, that one partner or the other actually thought they were superior, usually because of education, sometimes because of income or family background. You can't have a marriage if you think you are better than your spouse. It was my father that taught me, Kirby, always know your rightful place. Friends, it breaks my heart when I wake up to this world, and to the way we rule in this world. To wake up to a story of terror in Paris, or in Lebanon, or in Palestine, or in Israel, or in the Philippines, or in Mali. The list goes on and on. Folks trying to rule, extremists, not people of God, not people of Yahweh, not people of Allah, but extremists who believe that the way to rule is terror and fear and torture and even beheading. That's about as low as it gets. These are the rulers of this world. Jesus says, my kingdom, no, my kingdom is not from this world. And friends, what my greatest fear is that we will succumb to the very fear that the terrorists intend. I'm so proud of Governor Inslee. I am so proud that he has said in the state of Washington, we will welcome Syrian refugees. When meanwhile, governor after governor has gone on record and said, not in my state. The kingdom of God takes place when we welcome the stranger. The refugee, Jesus and his family were refugees, and there was no room for them in the inn. You may have forgotten that this was the same fear that existed following the Vietnamese War. And you know who it was that welcomed the Vietnamese? Then Governor, Republican Governor Dan Evans. This is not about partisan politics. This is about what does it mean to welcome. And Dan Evans said to the world, when others said, don't welcome the Southeast Asians, he says, we will in the state of Washington. And do you know who leads the welcome across this country of ours? Do you know who is the primary provider of assistance in the refugee camps of this world? Lutherans. And so many of our congregations welcomed. I'll bet this congregation adopted, welcomed a Vietnamese, Cambodian, Laotian family. And I'll bet God blessed you through it. And I know who will welcome those who come from Syria. And friends, don't get me wrong. Yes, we have to vet this. Yes, we have to be concerned about security. I'm not naive. But the question is, the very Jesus who is king was king at his best when he was willing to die, that there might be the possibility of relationship. And will we, as the followers of Jesus, be willing to risk in order to welcome? And so I join you this morning in praying, God, I really want your kingdom to come, even though it might mess my life up. God, I really want your will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Christ the King. Amen.